It's my pleasure to be here visiting you in the Mile High City. I'm starting to get used to the air a little bit. I know some of you. As Father said, last 8 years I was in Australia as district superior, but I had been district superior in the U.S. from 2002 to 2008 when I would have visited the church here. So it's a pleasure to be back here, and as he said, I'll be available after Mass downstairs if you'd like to say hello. The epistle for Sexagesima Sunday is taken from the second epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, you gladly suffer the foolish, whereas yourselves are wise. For you suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take from you, if a man be lifted up, if a man strike you on the face. I speak according to the dishonor, as if we had been weak in this part. Wherein, if any man dare, I speak foolishly, I dare also. They are Hebrews, so am I. They are Israelites, so am I. They are the seed of Abraham, so am I. They are the ministers of Christ. I speak as one less wise, I am more. In many more labors, in prisons more frequently, in stripes above measure, in deaths often. Of the Jews 5 times did I receive 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I was in the depths of the sea. In journeying often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils from my own nation, in perils from the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils from false brethren, in labor and painfulness, in much watchings, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things which are without my daily instance, the solicitude for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is scandalized and I am not on fire? If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things that concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. At Damascus, the governor of the nation, under Aretas the king, guarded the city of the Damascenes to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall, and so escaped his hands. If I must glory, it is not expedient indeed, but I will come to the visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I know not, or out of the body I know not, God knoweth, such an one rapt even to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, that he was caught up into paradise, and heard secret words, which it is not granted to man to utter. For such an one I will glory, but for myself I will glory nothing, but in my infirmities. For though I should have a mind to glory, I shall not be foolish, for I will say the truth. But I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth in me, or anything that he heareth from me. And lest the greatness of the revelation should exalt me, there was given me a sting of my flesh, an angel of Satan to buffet me, for which thing thrice I besought the Lord that it might depart from me. And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for power is made perfect in infirmity. Gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. And the gospel is taken from that of St. Luke. At that time, when a very great multitude was gathered together and hastened out of the cities unto him, he spoke by a similitude. The sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And other some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And other some fell among thorns, and the thorns growing up with it choked it. And other some fell upon good ground, and being sprung up, yielded fruit 100-fold. Saying these things, he cried out, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him what this parable might be. To whom he said, To you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God, and they by the wayside are they that hear, then the devil cometh and taketh the word out of their heart, lest believing they should be saved. Now they upon the rock are they who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no roots, for they believe for a while, and in time of temptation they fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they who have heard, and going their way are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and yield no fruit. But that on the good ground are they who, in a good and perfect heart, hearing the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit in patience. Thus are the words of the gospel. Behold, the sower went out to sow his seed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In today's gospel, our Lord gives us this parable of the sower of the seed. And the church puts it before us today in order that we might prepare for the coming Lent, the time of Lent in which hopefully we're able to, as we'll see in this parable, we're able to till the soil that the seed is put into. So let's take a look at this parable a little closer to see what the seed is and the different types of ground that it falls upon and how it applies to our souls. Of course, our Lord somewhat explains this parable to his disciples, telling them the seed is the word of God, the word of God that is put into our hearts. In other words, the seed is grace, grace that God gives to each one of us, which is meant to, as the parable tells us, it's meant to bring forth fruit. We're supposed to use this grace to multiply, to bring forth something in our lives. And of course, that something is sanctity. We need, of course, not lose faith in the power of grace, the power of the seed, even if we do see such little fruit that results from it in our lives. The seed still has the power. You can't take the power away from that seed, from the grace of God, from the Word of God. Nor should we lose faith in the seed if the harvest has failed, because the cause of failure certainly lies elsewhere than the seed itself, as the parable explains. It's in the soil where the problem lies, the soil of our nature. It has to be prepared, carefully prepared, diligently prepared, so that the seed can absorb nutrients. Just as a seed, if we plant it, it has to gain some nutrients in order to sprout. So the life of the soul is everything, yet without, the life of the seed is everything, yet without the soil, it remains still a seed. We might say it's really nothing without the soil. God's grace is everything, yet without our souls, that's what the grace has been created for our souls. So the soul must be there. The two must go together. But consider what the causes for the failure of grace are. What causes grace not to bring forth fruit? In other words, what happens in the soil that causes the germination not to take place? Or maybe there's a germination, but the roots aren't set. Or that it's carried away, it's choked. Well, he gives us the different types of soil here. And we need not always suppose it's the devil. He speaks about the devil here. The devil comes and takes it away. The birds of the air come and eat the seed. The devil is a spirit. He wants to keep us from serving God, from going to heaven. And yes, at times he comes to tempt us, but we have to remember that he does not cause us to sin. That's our free will. Sin is something whereby we choose freely to turn against God. venially or mortally. So the first case we have some of the seed that falls by the wayside. This is the only case where there is no growth at all from the seed. The seed falls there, but the ground is packed so hard that it cannot germinate. The soil gives nothing to the seed. The seed never penetrates below the surface to take root. This, of course, is ground that has been hardened by, we might say, constant traffic, the constant traffic of the world, so that the seed cannot penetrate. The two come into contact, but there's no work between the two. There's no interaction that takes place. He heareth the word and understand it not. This describes, of course, a mind that has laid itself open to every passerby, every distraction that comes upon it. It grabs at it. It goes after it. There's no mental discipline. There's no self-control in such a soul. There's no protection, having been set up against this constant whirl of dissipation. The world, the flesh, and the devil, we know those three often give this dissipation. And if we don't control it, if we don't have that discipline, the mental discipline, the seed will not take root in us. So the importance for us to make sure that we do take that time, mental prayer, recollection, all things that you, if you've gone on retreat, you've heard of these things. And no doubt your priest has constantly spoken of these things. The need for us to recollect, to think about what life is all about. Why am I here? Why has God created me? Well, of course, we know if you've memorized your basic catechism, man was created to know, love, and serve God in this life, to be happy with Him in the next. That's our whole purpose. And at times we need to step back and simply think of that. This is my purpose in life, to know, love, and serve God. And if I'm not doing that, then I'm like this ground that has become hardened, and the seed does not penetrate, the seed does not sprout. Of course, God continues to offer each soul His grace. That seed is constantly made available to souls. As long as we're living here on this earth, that seed is made available to us. But too often, the ground is too hard to accept it. There may be a thought someone has about God, and they quickly turn to something else. I can't think about that. I don't want to take the time to think about that. And so the soul may be touched for a moment, the seed may touch the ground, but nothing further happens with it. It's not accepted, and the soul doesn't correspond to the gift that it's been given. So it's important that we close off in order to get this ground softened up. We have to cut off the traffic, the dissipation. In a real field, it's packed down by the constant traffic on it, people walking on it. Likewise for us, we need to cut off that traffic so that the ground can be soft again. Through recollection, that ground can be softened up. It can be tilled. The mind can form good habits of prayer, versus the vices. We have virtues and vices. The two are opposed to one another. The vices of being very frivolous and careless. If we're such, we would not bear fruit. The seed will not germinate. And so it's important, especially when we are young. Parents, the duty to instill in your children good habits of prayer, to make sure that from the very early age they learn to say their morning offering. to say the rosary, say the grace before and after meals. It's something that's very important for this soil to be able to accept the seed, to accept His grace. And it's something that we all have to be, all have to think about. How is this soil in my life? How is life affecting me, my soul? Is it becoming hardened? Is it dissipated? Or do I take the time to truly work on making that soil acceptable to the seed? Eventually, of course, we can recover the powers of mind. If they have become so weak, that beaten path can be softened. As the moisture gets into a beaten path, it softens up. And it can be the same with our souls. So the first, the seed that fell by the wayside. Secondly, we have the seed that falls upon stony places, the stony ground. There's a bit of soil there, but there are stones. It's very thin, the soil that's on top of the rocks. It gives the seed enough to germinate, to sprout, but it's unable to take deep root because the rock prevents it from going down into it, into the soil. This, of course, describes a soul that grows, we might say, grows too fast. It flares up. It's like a brush fire. But once the fire is gone, the fire of God, love for God, it comes back to, it wants to have its own way. Those two are always opposed in our lives. Doing God's will or doing our own. Obviously, sin is when we want to do our own will, against God's will. And this stony place, this stony ground, that's the type of soil. That's the type of soul that wants to yes, it kind of wants to serve God, but doesn't want to give everything to Him. It wants to, so to speak, you've heard the old saying, have its cake and eat it too. I'll do so much for God, but I'm not going to give Him everything. There's things that I hold back from Him. So there is a definite hindrance to the full healthy growth of the divine seed. So keeping something back. It's almost like a split personality. On one hand, I want to give Him things. On the other hand, I don't. It's rather puzzling because as they may seem to go overboard with certain things, the emotions may rise up, but it's never really gotten into their minds, into their hearts, the service of God. Oh yes, I love God. I love, love, love God, but don't ask me to sacrifice things for Him. Don't ask me to give things up for Him. That's the soul that is this the soil of the rocky ground. Of course, then we have the soil, some fell among thorns. Here, as he tells us, it's those that are choked with the cares and hardships, the riches, the pleasures of this life. Heaven seems to grow dim to the eye that is wary of watching and the heart that is embittered with trials. Unless the soul keeps looking up, it tends to be dragged down to these cares. Heaven fades due to the glare of the world. If we keep our eyes down upon the world, heaven seems to fade away from us. We must not forget the next life for this one. The next life is what is important. Created to know, love, and serve God in this world, to be happy with Him in the next. This life is a time of trial for us, a trial that we all have to go through. And we need to continue struggling and keeping our eyes looking up to heaven. The hope and aspirations can fade very quickly if the good seed is choked by these cares, by these thorns. Or those who look to the pleasures and amusements of the world. Yes, we need them. We need to relax at times. We read in St. John how if a bow is always strung, it loses its tightness. It loses its spring. And so we have to have good, wholesome recreation. But to make sure it's not the end. Too many put their end in these things. Forgetting the end is to be with God in heaven. So all of us need to beware that we are not choked out by thorns in our lives. Of course, the devil tries to choke it out of us. He tries to send things, put things in our way to tempt us away from the spiritual life, away from serving God. Of course, then the final type of ground our Lord speaks about. Others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some in 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. If the soil is good, the seed will grow. If the soil has that nourishment in it that it should have, the seed will sprout. And if it continues to receive good nourishment, it will bring forth fruit. The seed, of course, is the source truly the source of life for us. We forget that the spiritual side is really the life that matters. Yes, we have a physical life, we have body and soul, but too often we forget about the spiritual side. We forget about the soul, the life of the soul. That life that will go on for eternity. The soul which is immaterial will continue for all eternity once it's been created. It cannot cease to exist. And so, of course, the soil needs the seed if it is to be fruitful, and the seed needs the soil if it is to unfold its life. The two are necessary to one another. And thus the importance for us that we toil and prepare the soil, to prepare our souls, so that it nourishes the seed, nourishes the Word of God, the life of grace that's put into us. Of course, this will mean that we need to pluck up the thorns. We need to remove the rocks. We need to make sure the soil is soft, not hardened down. And that is our life work. So during this time before Lent, it's a time for us to consider our souls, the soil that's there. What is it that I need to do with my soil? A good farmer will take soil samples, send them in to get them analyzed. What minerals are lacking here? What type of fertilizer do I need to add to the soil? Well, we need to do the same with our souls. What minerals are lacking in my life? What spiritual things are lacking here? What good habits or virtues am I not practicing that I should be? What vices are there? What rocks do I need to remove? And as we prepare for Lent, it's a time for us to consider those things. Maybe there's a good resolution I can make during Lent to help to remove the thorns or the rocks or to soften the ground. Of course, we turn to Our Lady in this to ask her help, her intercession, to give us the grace, first of all, to want to examine this soil, to examine our souls, and the grace to see what we are lacking. What is this soil lacking? Dear Lady, help us to see exactly what is needed here. How do I make that soil fertile? How can I help it to bring forth good fruits? Good fruits that can be spread around. Obviously, the fruits that we bear can help others out as well. But the fruits have to be there, first of all. And our Lord gives us all the time to prepare the soil to make sure it does bear good fruit. But we have to do our part. So let's ask Our Lady to gain for us the graces, to see where our fault is, and to work on curing it so that this coming Lent And even the time right now, let's start now. Today is an important day to begin living lives as we should, so that we bear fruit, hopefully 100-fold in our lives. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.